Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I just give all honor and glory to God for a day that He has created, a beautiful day that He has created today. And He gets all the glory and the praise, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So today we are to believe and be glad in the day that He has created for all of us to enjoy. Again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Just thanking you for being faithful, for tuning into the program and listening to the program. But not only being faithful to Mission from the Heart Radio, but also just being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ honors Him, and He receives that as a sweet aroma to His nostrils. So continue to be faithful to your church, faithful to the Lord, and faithful to the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Thank you again. And this is, I have a special guest on the program again who's bringing us this wonderful teaching series, Everything You Need. And we're just going to move right on into our program. I'm super excited about this particular point concerning Believe. And Adrian Rogers, if you have not heard of him, he is a great Bible teacher. And he puts it this way: you are not ready to live until you are no longer afraid to die. So ponder on that, think about that, and see how or where that meets you in your life. You are not ready to live until you are no longer afraid to die. So Lakeisha Richmond is going to continue this series, Everything You Need, with the focus on Believe. Now, this focus point will be expounded on to bring a deeper understanding scripturally. The Bible is our roadmap to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is everything you need if you just believe. So, Minister Lakeisha Richmond, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and just let those who are listening know who you are?
Well, praise the Lord. Thanks again, Carnita, for this great opportunity to come with you to share our faith, our confession, our belief, and our transformation of our lives to a world via Blog Talk Radio over the Internet. But I am Lakeisha Richmond. I live in Houston, Texas. I serve in ministry at Turning Point Faith Ministry under Dr. Sandra Scott. I really feel honored and blessed just to be known as a child of God and to be able to confess Christ and to live amongst other believers and share in ministry with another believer. I have two children, Sheila and Jasper. Sheila is 21 and in college, and Jasper is 20, my son, and he's also getting ready to go back to college. And, you know, my whole life I have, I confessed Christ at the age of 9, and I was desperate at 9 years old for a way out. A savior, you know, somebody to come and rescue me out of a predicament that I was in, of the environment I was living in and growing up in. So my escape came through confessing Christ, but I was led by another lady, Edna Galata, that I referred to as grandmommy for a long time. And she led me to Christ through confessing him. And I basically grew up in the church. So although I grew up in a Baptist church, I went to an denominational church, I've been part of AME Church, but I am non-denominational because Christ, I haven't read what he said. He was Baptist or AME or Presbyterian or Catholic, not against any denomination, but he just loved. God is love. That's 1 John 4:7-8. So I have learned through the word and being in the different denominations, been founded in scripture, to believe in the word. And I would have to say I would bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And none of this is part of my lesson, but it's just the Holy Spirit, because I have been diagnosed with depression and PTSD. So then having a diagnosis by a doctor, but then confessing and believing in a God that is the ultimate healer, and in his word and reading in scripture, all these different illnesses and ailments and diseases, what I've seen in scripture, what he's people have been healed. I have learned how to bless the Lord at all times. I have learned how to do that day by day. I'm going to get in the lesson, and it'll just come out in the lesson, but I really find it an honor to speak to you today, all my sisters and brothers in Christ, wherever you are. And I hope you find and able to receive that God not just can be, but he is everything you need through belief and through what you believe in. So I want to start off today by thanking God for all of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, all over the world, for your confession in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. I thank God for your concrete, your solid belief, in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I thank our Father in heaven for your continuous walk in the new life he has freely given to you or offers to you today through your confession and your belief in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom is our Lord and Savior, now and forevermore. Amen. That is my prayer today. Just to catch those up who have not been with us in part one and part two of Everything You Need, you can at your convenience go back and listen to them. If you have your Bible, I ask that you take it out. You always want to have it out so you can walk with us through the scripture and make notes for when you go back and study later, and that will help you. Also, it is good to have a Bible whose translation you can easily understand. Amen. A quick overview. First of all, Carnita, I wanted to share with you. Carnita and I didn't know the Lord had plans for us to for this to become a series. So in the beginning, I just presented Everything You Need. God gave me three valuable points to bring forth to you to make to bring to you. So before I came out with the points, I wanted to make sure that you understood what the title was really preparing you to receive. So my foundational scripture, it came from Philippians 4:19. And I read from the New International Version, which said today, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That scripture speaks to, as I said, relationship. So it is a personal. It's a personal thing. Notice the scripture says, my God, your God, my God. Ask yourself, who is your God? Who is my God? I have to ask myself that. Is my God my children? Was it my job? Is it my car? Is it my money? Is it my family? Who is my God? What does I treat as my God? Is it material things? And then after you ask yourself and you recognize who is your God or what is your God meeting your needs? Then back to scripture, it says, my God, the scripture reads, my God supplies all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So do you know him? Do you know God? Do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? So not only who is your God, but is your God meeting your needs? Then are you in Christ Jesus? Have you gotten to know him? So if not, you'll have that opportunity today, this day, to get to know him or get to know him better if you already know him. But it is a personal decision. Okay, let's just look a little bit at the title and break it down a little bit. Everything you need. Everything you need, everything I need. Everything says all that exists. All that exists, everything that I need or you need. Need states that I have a condition requiring supply, or I need some type of relief. So understand that all that exists is because of God, and he that created all that exists, which is God, Jesus Christ, has my supply, has my relief. So has what you need, has your supply, has my supply, has my relief. Then I went to my first point, which was confession. Confess is a root word of confessions. It means to tell. So part one, first point, I explain how you should confess to God his word. For example, to tell God with your mouth is to confess. So I would confess, I know that you, Father, will provide all my needs according to, and you give him back his word, his promise to you, to me. Philippians 4:19. So I'm making known to him, to God, to my Father, what I need. And then when someone gives you something, what do you say? Thank you. Thank you, Father, for providing my needs. So after you told your Father in heaven with your mouth, your confession, then you still have to do something. You have to expect to receive what you stand in need of. And that brought me to point number two, which is believe. So what does it mean to believe? What is belief? Listen, I said belief is a thought you keep thinking. That word keep means continuous, over and over, over and over. And I explained that you have to sometimes check your thoughts, because what you think over and over should be positive. It should take you back to the word of God. It should take you back when it comes to confession and belief, and giving your Father, confessing to your Father, or telling him what he has promised you. It should be positive. It should be his word. So are those thoughts good? Does those thoughts encourage me? So every time you think of your need not met, believe it is by thinking over and over, my Father has promised me that he will supply all my needs. And you have to see that need being met or supplied. Think about it. When you place an order for some supplies, you expect them to be delivered, and they are delivered. When you place an order, you go to a restaurant or a fast food place, and you go to the intercom and you place an order for a meal. You want a combo number one. When you get to the window, you expect the combo meal number one, which you requested. So that's what we do when we place our order with our Heavenly Father, when we pray. And then we expect him to deliver it according to, give him back his word. You promised me. You said, Father, in Matthew 21:22, it says, if I believe, you will receive. I will receive. And that formed me. So, you said, if I believe, in Matthew 21:22, that I will receive whatever I ask for in prayer. So whatever I ask you for in prayer, I will receive that. With your renewed mind, you have confessed, believed, and that's what has transformed you. You don't want to walk away or look at the situations the same any longer. And then the last point was transformation. I mean, it's a change. You continue in a new way. use your faith, your belief, according to Romans 12 and 3. God gives us all a measure of faith. And all it takes is a little faith the size of a mustard seed, size of a point of a pen. You have to simply, let me show you, how simple it is to use just a little bit amount of faith. If you just stand up, right, if you're sitting down, if you stand up from where you're sitting right now, then you sit back down on that seat, on that chair, on your bed, and you don't think about, is it going to hold me up? Because your faith is automatic. You already knew that it would support you. So we use faith more than we really realize. Think about a bank. We put our money in a bank, either by direct deposit or when we take a check to the bank to deposit it. And then it's made available to us. Sometimes it's not available right away. Listen, our Father in heaven is our bank, and our prayers are our direct deposit. And our faith is what makes those prayers, the answer to our prayers, available to us. Okay? It's that simple. And then I say that we still have extra benefits after that. When our needs are met, we still have to do something. We have to stay focused in our new way, continuing in our transformation, which is not to look at those old situations, or maybe it's a current situation that's not going so well, with that old mindset. We pray more even when things are going well. Think of those prayers as interest. We receive an extra reward, a benefit from our Father in heaven. Then we went to Psalms 37:4, verses 4 through 5. And I'm just giving you an overview of the first two parts of everything I need. And in Psalms 37:4-5, we talked about delighting ourselves in the Lord. So it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And to delight means to take great joy in the Lord. There should be some excitement. Then, after that, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will do what he has promised according to his word. Then, we talked about a little bit, saying Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first his kingdom, which is God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added or given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So each day has enough trouble of its own. That was scripture. That was part one. After the first part, Carnita says, why don't, that was the first part of everything you need. So Carnita said, why don't you do a series and go more into depth with each point? And that's how we came about with part two of confession. Everything you need through confession. God can be everything that you need through confession. Confession, and we looked at, if we said we are in need of, sometimes others may not know that we are in need unless we do it by a written request or by telling them that we are in need. So confession is also acknowledging who we are in transitioning to a change. Confession is a personal choice. It is up to each individual, so it's personal. We looked at two categories in the Bible where confession mostly falls under. There were two. The first one was confession as an admission of sin, so as of doing something wrong that was unrighteousness or against what we were instructed to do. And you can read about that an example in Joshua, the 7th chapter, verses 19 to 21. And then also, we also learned confession doesn't release us from the consequence. And you can read about that still in Joshua, the 7th chapter, verses 22 to 26. The other category of confession was confession as an open, bold, courageous proclamation of one's faith. And that's what we do as Christians when we're, well, when we come into the acknowledgement of Christ, when we first confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the scripture was Romans that we came from, and the foundation of our Christian walk, the belief, what we're going to really be talking about today. Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's the first step to the rest of your life as a Christian. That's Romans 10, 9 through 10. And the Contemporary English Version reads, "So you will be saved if you honestly say or confess that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe with all your heart that God raised him from death. God will accept you and save you if you truly believe this and tell it to others." Then verse 13 says, "All is everyone who call out to the Lord will be saved." Okay? Then confession challenges you and me to change from our old ways, thoughts, and words, especially our words. So we have to talk what we have to walk what we talk. And we talked about that. We came from 1 John, first chapter, verses 6, 9, and 10. Now, brothers and sisters, that brings us to part 3. And that means it's time to work. Everything you need, part 3, talking about believing or belief, which is very, very important as a Christian, as an imitator of Christ, as a believer in Christ. So we should have the confession down pat by now. We should know how to speak, how to pray the word, how to confess the word, which is tell God what his word says, communicate back and forth through prayer with him, and listen for him to speak back to us. So we have learned how to confess. Now is the believing part, that faith part, that it's time to go to work. It's time to put some legs on the faith. It's time to give belief a face, a body, a hand, a foot, a leg. It's time for it to move, to do something. So we're going to talk about belief, or to believe, as a verb, not a noun. So a verb is a word that shows action. It does something, not a noun, which represents a person, a place, or a thing. So we're not talking about belief as just a thing or a word, but we're talking about it as doing something. To believe, according to Nelson's Illustrated Dictionary, is to place one's trust in God's truth. God's truth is his promises. How do I know God's promise? It's in Scripture. You find it in Scripture. So one who takes God at his word, his Scripture, and trusts in him for salvation. Salvation is the deliverance from the power of sin. So you trust God alone for salvation. We can go to John 3 and 16. John 3 and 16. This is what we're talking about, is trusting God alone for salvation. And I'm going to read to you from the Contemporary English Version. And it reads, "God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, which is Jesus Christ, so that everyone who has faith in him, or that believe in him, or that trust in him, will have eternal life and never die. Never die. So that says we're trusting in Him, in God alone for salvation, because He sacrificed His only Son, which is Jesus Christ, for us for salvation. Now I want to let you know, as a believer is known as those who have trusted God with their will as well as their mind. Those who have trusted God. So I can say again, that goes back to relationship. Back to relationship. When you think about being in relationship with someone, whether it's a mother and child, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, best friend, you really trust that person. You depend on that person, or that the person depends on you. There's really, if it's a close person, but a relationship, there always are. It's trust in a relationship, and dependence and confidence. So believers are those who have, it said, trusted in God. So He's already done some things for you. So trusted is past tense. Trusted in the past with their will as well as their mind. So because of their relationship in the past, I know what He will do for me in the future, or after, you know, in the future or from henceforth. Let's go to Philippians 2 and 5. And we want to let this mind be in me and you as was in Christ Jesus. So Philippians 2 and 5. We're talking about trust and belief. Still. 5. And I will be reading to you from the Contemporary English Version. It says, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. King James Version says, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. So that's what, that's a believer. We're going to get back to focus on belief. Because I really want you to really trust God, have that belief in God, in His word, and believe in Him for everything you need. See, the Holy Spirit is so awesome. I'm going to read to you an introduction, which will also be the conclusion. And I just wanted you to make a note of that, because sometimes you ever watch the movie, and in that movie some movie will show you the ending. It'll begin by showing you how the movie ends, and it's like dramatic. It sets up the scene, though, for the beginning of the movie. Then it goes into the story. That is what the Holy Spirit is showing you now. Are you ready? Here we go. My name is Lakeisha Richards, and I say, I believe that our belief is powerful. Your belief is powerful. As a believer, we will have opposition. You will have opposition. There's no doubt about that. No doubt. So expect it. But Jesus Christ, which is your truth, which is my truth, never dies. Never dies. I can back it up in the scripture. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 4. So I'm going to 1 John 4 and 4. So your belief is powerful. Your belief is powerful. And Jesus Christ, our truth, your truth, my truth, never dies. Never dies. Believe that. 1 John 4 and 4. Walking through the scripture. It reads in the Contemporary English Version, children, you belong to God, and you have defeated these enemies. God's spirit is in you and is more powerful than the one that is in the world. So when you confess Christ and you said you believe that he died, that he was crucified, he died, was buried, he rose again. From that day, his spirit is in you. You have to believe that. And his spirit that is in you is more powerful than the one, anybody that's in this world. So some versions read that greater is he, which is Christ, God's spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? That's what I say. Your belief is powerful. That's what I say. The scripture says that greater is he that is in you, that is in me, than he that is in the world. In the world. Let's go to see what John says. St. John 1 and 1. St. John 1 and 1. St. John 1 and 1. Now, we're still talking about everything you need, okay? Everything you need, and we're talking about belief. Because you confess, but confession without belief, they go hand in hand. You have to have both of them. So, yes, I can confess all day long. I can confess Christ. I can confess his word to him. But unless I believe what his word says, I have no power. So you have to know what you believe in. So you have to go to the word. Go to the scripture. Go to the scripture. St. John 1 and 1. I'm going to read from Contemporary English Version. It says, in the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. Okay? We're going to read down to verse 5. Verse 2, from the very beginning, the Word was with God. Okay? This Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from him. And his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and the darkness has never put it out. Amen. Amen. So that's what John said, okay? So I'm still talking about belief. I'm trying to explain to you how powerful your belief is. So everything, God is everything you need. How do you know that? His promises through Scripture. So let's see what else the Scripture says. Let's see what Jesus says, okay? Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 35th verse. Okay? St. Matthew, 24th chapter, verse 35. St. Matthew, 24th chapter, and verse 35. Let's see what it says. Let's see what it says. The sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will. Another version says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Word of God will stand. It will always be here. Okay? Are you willing to present your body, your mind, your heart, which in your heart shall lie true conviction, as a living sacrifice every day of your life? Are you willing to do that? That's what it tells us that we should do in Romans 12:1-2. to, well, 12, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says more than just presenting our body. It gives us a little extra in the first verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, dear friend, I'm reading from Contemporary English Version again. God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. So the question again, are you willing to present your body, mind, and heart as a living sacrifice every day of your life? From this day, the day you accept him as your Lord and Savior, not what everyone else around you are doing with their bodies and their actions, but you. It is personal. It is personal. And you may ask, how do I do that? How do I present my body and my mind and my heart as a living sacrifice? You know, how do I do that? Okay, it may just mean workplace. Just say you're in a workplace and something. Let's say it can be something simple as one coworker talking about another coworker that, or maybe spreading lies. So, do you participate? Participate in spreading lies, or will you tell the truth? Will you present your body? Will you not entertain a lie, something that you know is not true? Let's say, what about, say, stealing? If you know you don't have the money for something that you really want, will you use your hand to take something that doesn't belong to you? How do I present my mind as a living sacrifice? So do I think those negative things about other people? Do I just sit up and just wander aimlessly and daydream with no hope for the future? Or do I see what the Word of God says about my future? That's how you can present your body and your mind and your heart when your heart is hurting and you don't understand why you're going through difficulties or certain things in your life. Don't just stay there. Search the Scripture. Get in the Word of God and see what the Word says about this situation. That's how you can present your body, mind, and heart as a living sacrifice. It takes some work. It takes some work. You always look to the Word, look to God's promises for everything you need. That's how you increase your faith in Him. Seeing what He has promised you, that's how you build up your belief and your trust and your confidence in a God that you cannot see, but He has made you some promises in His Word, in Scripture. That's how you build that. You see what the Scripture says. You pray it. You communicate it to Him. You have promised me, and I believe you, and then you expect for Him to do it. That's how you present your body, your mind, and your heart as a living sacrifice to Him. Okay, let's go to the next part. I hope you are enjoying this as much as I am. But it is I want you to really get the believing part. It's really a personal thing because anybody can tell you anything. Even when it comes to thinking about things about ourselves, you know, I want to see what God says about me. I don't want to believe someone else's opinion about myself. I want to see what my Father who created me in His image, what He sees about me. I want to build myself up. I want to see myself as He sees me, as He created me and purposed me to be. how else would I know unless I get in his word? Okay, think about Jesus Christ. He gave his life. The one who knew no sin. The one who did no wrong. He died for your sin and mine, that we, you and I, or anyone else, might have the right to eternal life just by believing in him, just by having faith in him, just by trusting in him, relationship, just by having confidence in him and in his word and what he has told us he would do. Might says, might have the right. Might is only because it is our personal choice. It's your personal choice. It's the next person's personal choice to believe. So it's not forced upon anyone. It's your choice. It's my choice. I have made Jesus Christ my choice. I have confessed at the age of 9, and I still today do believe even more today because I have matured. I have grown up in the word of God more. I understand it better. I am walking out every day in my new way of life, my new way of thinking, my new way of doing according to God's scripture. Does that mean I don't make any mistakes? No. But I learn from my mistakes and I do better. Then I can offer you and you can offer someone else as a Christian, and we can be an example for our children, our sister, or our brother in Christ. So we have been offered a free turn of life. It is just up to us to accept it or reject it, to confess it or not to confess. Scripture says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So sin pays you with death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God gives you a gift. God gives me a gift. A gift is free. Cost you. This gift does cost you something. It's free, but it does cost you something. We have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. That's still talking about everything you need. It's still talking about your foundational, your belief. You're still building upon that. And we can go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24 through 27. St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24 through 27. We're almost finished. It reads, then Jesus said to his disciples, which were his followers, and may I remind you that the disciples, Jesus met each one of the disciples right where they were, right where they were, the fisherman, the tax collector, the physician, every last one of them right where they were. And he allowed them to follow him. He allowed them to follow them just like they were. And they learned in following him how to deny themselves, how to pick up their cross in following him. So they were not perfect overnight. They were not perfect at all, but they learn how to live like him. If anyone would come after me, this is what Jesus said, he must first deny himself, die to some emotions, die to some short tempers, die to some overeating. I don't know. Die to some, having everything that everybody else around you have. Deny yourself. Turn over your plate. Fast. Refrain from food. Maybe for a day and just stay in the word and meditate on the word and just have that time just with you and the Lord. Just pray. Pray for someone else. Try not praying for what you need one day. Pray for something someone else needs, or help a neighbor out. Deny yourself first. Take up your cross. That's you taking up responsibility for every action, everything you do. You know, not looking to pin the blame on somebody else. Take up your call. I'm taking up my call. And then I'm going to follow Christ. Okay. For whoever wants to save his life, Juanita talked about it. It's amazing because we don't talk about what, I don't tell her what I'm going to, what God gives me, and I don't know what her introduction is. But whoever wants to save his life will lose it. We're still in St. Matthew 27, and we're still talking about everything you need. This is part three of believe. So you have to get it. So you're going to deny yourself first. This is what Jesus said to his disciples or to anyone who would like to come after him, anybody who want to imitate him, anybody who want to be like him, anybody that confesses, I want to become more like you, Jesus. I got to first deny myself, take up my cross. I'm going to take the responsibility for every action that I have. Everything that I attempt to do, every way that I try to imitate you, when I fall short, to be more like you. That's taking up my own cross. And I'm going to still follow you. I'm going to still imitate you. I'm still going to try to be more and more like each day. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. That's what Jesus said. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person, according to what he has done. I know that's a lot to handle, so let's break that down. It's not, so that's just saying it's not about me and my walk with Christ and me imitating Christ and me trying to be more like Christ and me confessing, not just confessing him, but joining my belief and trying to be like him. It's not all about me, but it's for me to help my sister, my brother in Christ, to show them, look, you're not going to be perfect. You still may make mistakes. Just don't do this. Turn from it. Repent. And don't go back and do that same thing again. Don't bring harm to your sister and brother in Christ by gossip or you be strength to one that is weak, and vice versa. Your sisters and brothers in Christ will be strength for you when you're weak. So it's not about me. Seriously, what would Jesus do? That's what you want to ask yourself in each situation. How would he respond in this situation? When someone cut in front of me on the freeway, Lord, have mercy. I had to grow up in that area. I had to ask God to help me. Because I know if I believe in the scripture and if I believe I'm trying to imitate Christ, what came out my mouth, I need it to reflect what a child of God would say. Not what me and my flesh and my emotions want to say, because I messed up a lot. I'm just being honest. Because it wasn't Lord have mercy. It was something else for a long time, and I started to pray and ask God, help me, God. Help me, help my responses to become more responsive of what crisis would be. So in line at the grocery store, when somebody cuts you off, when someone steps on my foot, when I'm not feeling so well, how is my response to others? They don't necessarily know this is not a good day for me. And everything that I do, got to keep that on you, before you. So I can't respond in my emotions or my feelings, like I said. My son would tell me a lot of times, I would yell at him about different things. He would say, "Mama, get out your feelings, get out your emotions." And I would get so angry and upset with him. But he would be telling me the truth, and it would hit me right in my heart. So I try to remember to include Christ, or at least think about, do my characteristics or response reflect Christ's? Now, this is still talking about everything I need and my belief. Because think about it. If the only Christian someone else knows is me, or if the only Christian that someone else knows is you, what do you look like? What do I look like? How do I sound? How do you sound? Do you think they see Jesus Christ in me or in you? That's where transformation comes in. That's taking on a kingdom mindset. That's knowing that it's not about me, but it's about the kingdom of God. That's how we plunder hell and populate heaven right there. Let's look at St. Luke, the ninth chapter, verse 23 through 26. It's same. It's going to say similar to St. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. It says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone who come after me deny himself, take up his cross," this one says, "daily," oh my God, "take up his cross daily, continuous working, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man," which is Jesus Christ, "will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Okay, the last part of belief, everything you need on belief. We're gonna in with the story. We're going right back to scripture. And this is with, on the statement alone that your belief is powerful. Oh my God. So powerful that it has the ability to save your entire, not just you, not just me, but our entire household. So let's go to scripture. This is faith or belief at work. Okay, so Cornita, will you please read Acts 16, chapter 16, verses 16 through 40?
Okay.
So this is faith or our belief at work. So we're going to read that straight out of scripture. Okay.
And this is the passage concerning Paul and Silas in prison. Mm-hmm. Acts 16, verse 16. "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar. by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains were loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prisoners' doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for light, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They repented. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates set their officers to the jailer, sent their officers to the jailer with the other. "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came, teased them, and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left.
Thank you. So that's it.
Amen.
I said it on the statement alone that your belief is powerful. Your belief, my belief is powerful. So powerful that it has the ability to save your entire household. That's not just that's influence, but it's your belief. So who is your belief in? Think about that. I want to read it from the Contemporary English Version. It's just only certain words are different. "One day on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. She had a spirit in her that gave her the power to tell the future. By doing this, she made a lot of money for her owners. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us and kept yelling, 'These men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you how to be saved.' This went on for several days. Finally, Paul got upset. So upset that he turned and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to leave this girl alone." Then it said, at once. And this version of the contemporary version says the evil spirit left her. So when the girl's owners realized that they had lost all chances of making more money, they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them out into court. They told the officials, "These Jews are upsetting our city. They are telling us to do things we Romans are not allowed to do." So the crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off the two men and ordered them to be beaten with a whip. After they had been badly beaten, they were put in jail, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. The jailer did this as he was told. He put them deep inside the jail and chained their feet with heavy blocks of wood. Now, I want to stop right there because earlier I said that we will, as believers, we will face some opposition. I don't know if you remember me saying that. Now, not to scare you, but it's just to say on this. First of all, Paul was a disciple. He was a follower of Christ. Paul and Silas were followers of Christ. So they're going around and they're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we do live in the wonderful United States of America. Thank God for that. And we are. Remember when we read in Romans 12th chapter, I believe it was the first verse, and it says, be not conformed to the things of this world. This is facing opposition. And this is still talking about everything you need when it comes to your belief. Because being not transformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because in the world today, how many Christians do you really see on the news every day confessing Christ? How much good news or the gospel you see being shown on the news? How many breaking news, how many news flashes do you see of the gospel? Someone just got saved on West Looney Yard, or someone has just received Christ in Third Ward, or someone has just received Christ over in Europe, in China, in Japan. Breaking news. Someone has just received Christ down below in Australia. Someone has just received Christ in Maine. Breaking news. CNN, someone has just received Christ over in Afghanistan. Talking about belief. Because we have a responsibility as believers to spread the word, to spread the gospel, to let someone else know. When I was hurting, when I was dying, I found hope in Christ. In believing and having confidence and trusting in this man that I'm in relationship with. And he's made me some promises. He left me a book full of promises. And I've been trusting him. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, but each day I get closer and closer and closer and closer to him. By reading his word and his promises and seeing him answer my prayers. That's what Romans 12:1 about not being conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's what I'm talking about your belief is so powerful that it has the ability to save your entire household. Once you have gotten that confidence, that trust in the one you've confessed about, you've confessed to, that has delivered you, that has given you hope. That's what I want you to really get it. I want you to really receive it. I want you to really trust him. I want you to really believe in the word of God. It's a promise. It's a bond. It's drawing closer to him. So, Carnita, all I have left is some quotes on belief. So I want to see if you have anything to add before I go through those quotes. If you have anything to say or at this
no,
point.
I don't at this point, because it's so rich and it's so full of the Word of God that I want to just continue to
okay.
just go into the continue with the flow, because it is really
okay.
delighting my soul. So continue to go,
okay.
and I'll continue to make notes, and then we'll as we draw to the close of the program, then we'll extend the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay. I'm going to finish the 25 through 40. I'm going to do it real quick, and then I get into the quotes. About verse 25, that's Acts 16 chapter, and I'm going to start back up at verse 25. This is after Paul and Silas had been jailed and beaten and put way into deep inside the jail and chained, and his feet were chained with heavy blocks of wood. So then, this is the dramatic part. It gets real good. This is the climax of the story. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas was praying. They were communicating with their Father in heaven and singing praises to God. Wow, I want to be more like Paul and Silas. So after I have been witnessing for Christ, and I have came up against some opposition, I have been beaten, my clothes been ripped off of me, I have been accused, I've been taken before the courts, and then the crowd going to join in court, and then they beat me and throw me in jail and chain me in. Then at midnight, it says Paul and Silas were praying, communicating with God and singing after all that, praises to God. That's what I see in the Bible, in the scripture, while the other prisoners listen. So, wow, my belief, their belief, think about how much power, how much influence that can have. Because you know the word is spread around. Man, these men out there trying to spread the gospel of Jesus, their clothes was ripped off of them, they've been beaten, and then they in prison. They in here chained, and they praying and singing praises to their God while the other prisoners listen. Wow. Suddenly, a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundation. Then the doors opened and the chains fell from all the prisoners. Wow. All the prisoners. Wow. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors were open, he thought the prisoners had escaped. He pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. No one has escaped." So verse 29 is interesting. You have to learn how to read in between the lines, right? So I was wondering, why would this jailer just pull his sword out and want to kill himself? Well, first of all, it did say that the strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened and the chains fell from all the prisoners. So, you know, that's not just earth moving, but you hear all these shackles and chains just falling, clink, 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 clink. Yeah.
But also in verse 20, the jailer asked for a torch. So that means they was in darkness. They couldn't see. Went into the jail. So he asked for some light. Going to jail. He was shaking all over as he knelt down in front of Paul and Silas. He didn't go to nobody else. Who did the jailer go to first? Paul and Silas. After he had led them out of the jail, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, he didn't ask them in the jail in front of everybody. I'm just trying to read between the lines. This is my, maybe my, it's my imagination. But first of all, they were in the dark because he had to get a torch before he can go into the jail. Then he led Paul and Silas out. So nobody, no other prisoners. He led Paul and Silas. Then he asked them. So it must be something about, they believe. They must have some powerful belief, because what if this is the same jailer, I'm assuming it's the same jailer that locked him up. He was assigned to watch him. And he asked just them two, what do I have to do to have that belief you have in the God that you serve, in a God who you believe in a God that's some your belief. Paul and Silas' belief right there. That's what I see. Has some power. Okay, let's see what else it's going to do. They replied, "Have faith." Paul and Silas, both of them said, "Have faith in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." They didn't say, "Have faith in me." They say, "Have faith in the Lord Jesus, and you will," not "you might," not "you can be," but "you will be saved." Exclamation point. In school, I learned that's some excitement. That exclamation point, it calls for have faith in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's what that means right there. This is also true for everyone who lives in your home. Your belief is powerful. Then Paul and Silas told him and everyone else in his house about the Lord. So they're still witnessing. Glory to God. While it was still night, the jailer took them to a place where he could wash their cuts and their bruises. Wow. Then he and everyone in his home were baptized. They were very glad that they had put their faith in God. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home and gave them something to eat. Let me feed the men of God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The next morning, the officials sent some police with orders for the jailers to let Paul and Silas go. The jailers told Paul, "The officials have ordered me to set you free. Now you can leave in peace." Wow. They're trying to calm that down. But Paul told the police, we are Roman citizens, and the Roman officials had us beaten in public without giving us a trial. We weren't even found guilty. We didn't even have a chance to be proven guilty of witnessing to Jesus. But they're going to beat us, throw us in jail, just because they had power, just because, you know, the government, They have power. I'm not talking about the government, but I'm just giving you an example. And whatever the judge says, it's that's it. It don't mean it's right. It don't mean it's wrong. But they have enough power to just say, you can't even speak on your own behalf unless the judge gives you permission. Wow. They threw us in jail. This Paul talking. Now they think they can secretly send us away. Mm-mm. No, they cannot. They would have to come here themselves and let us out. When the police told the officials that Paul was a Roman citizen, the officials were afraid. So they came and apologized. They led them out of the jail and asked them to please leave town. But Paul and Silas went straight to the home of Lydia. They still were on assignment. They were still They were still about their father's business. Now, that's some strong belief right there in a God, and some confidence, some trust in a God, where they saw the Lord's followers and encouraged them. So after being beaten, after being thrown in jail, after going to, for witnessing for God, they still went and they encouraged other believers where they saw them, and then they left. So
Amen.
Your belief is powerful. Your belief is powerful. Your belief is powerful. I have a just you want me to go through the beliefs first, Cornita?
Well,
to go through the beliefs?
Okay. Part of your lesson.
I had a couple of true stories here about how powerful your belief is. One is, I had read a sentence before about mothers. I had read a statement before about mothers being the first God a child knows. And if you think about it, a mother, a parent, a father, it's true, because we raise the children. We're the first person that a child knows. We teach them to obey us. We discipline them. And we kind of instill that fear in them from when they're first born or in their most influential ages. So these are two stories. The first one is about one of my former pastors. She believed that her birthday was on where she actually grew up celebrating her birthday. It was either the 15th or the 17th of January. And so from a child on up into her adulthood, her birthday was always celebrated on the 15th or 17th, I can't remember. So when I joined the church at about the age of 19, so we always celebrated the birth date, we'll just say the 17th of January. So one day, the pastor had to show proof of a birth and get the birth certificate, and she looked at it and realized that, wow, my birthday is January 22nd. And so I remember when we were told the story in church, you know, one day, we were like laughing, like, wow, how could you go your whole life celebrating your birthday on the wrong day, you know? And, you know, the church was just laughing, but the reality was, that's what her mother told her, when her mother told her birthday was, and that's when it was always celebrated. So, but because of that, that was the wrong day, that's what she believed all that time. Now, the second story is about me. My name is Lakeisha Richmond. I have two children. My mother told me, and it may sound crazy, but I'm just talking about belief. I'm still talking about belief. My mother told me that there were no such thing as mountains. It might sound crazy or stupid, or how could I really believe? But as a child, my mama told me there were no mountains. I know I went to school. I learned about mountains. I was taught about mountains. I saw mountains in the book. I saw them on the television, but my mama told me there were no such things as mountains. I had, at one point, never been out of Houston, you know. So anyway, when I was in high school, I was moved to California, and on the way out of Texas, I saw what I thought was, I was like, wow, those are some big hills. Oh, my God. Those hills are so large. You know, because my mama told me there were no such things as mountains. So I believe that with every fiber of my being. Anyway, when it was explained to me that these are not hills, they are mountains, I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you are saying I had to be stupid or crazy to believe that after all that I was told, and then to see with my own eyes, but I was deceived by someone close to me that I had a relationship with, that I lived with, and was around most of my influential years. So my mama taught me to do what she said, or there would be consequence. And I had a lot of fear of her. So parents, remember, you are the first God. You have all power over a helpless, unknown, or uneducated child. What are you teaching them directly or indirectly to affect their beliefs? Not just by what you say, but also by what you do. The scripture says in James 1, 22-25, not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
The last quote we just quote. It says, truths of life, the most beautiful day is today. The biggest obstacle is fear. And we know the Bible says the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. The best Maybe. Teachers are children. So they're, you know, you think about it, they're innocent. They're so
yeah.
innocent. The most mm. beautiful gift is forgiveness. And the scripture says we have to forgive our debtors. Forgive our debtors as we forgive our debtors, but we must forgive in order for us to be forgiven. The most important thing is home. The fastest way is the honest one. The most pleasant feeling is calmness. So there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
The most
Amen.
Effective defense is the smile. The best
Amen.
Medicine is optimism. The greatest force is belief. The greatest force is belief. I didn't even see that on there. And the most beautiful thing is love. Life
Amen.
Without love
Amen.
Loses meaning. And I end on 1 John 4:7-8, my favorite scripture of all. And I know that by heart. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. For God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Because, you know, this is the program. I mean, this is what Mission from the Heart is about. I mean, we are about ministering the Word of God in its simplistic form to where children can understand where our heart comes from. And just understanding this point that you have wonderfully brought and expounded on such a beautiful way to where we could use this to teach our own children to understand what believe is and to the magnitude that it brings when we confess and truly believe with our heart or in our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to bring out that power that we don't have in our natural but in our spiritual sense where we can receive. And you did a wonderful job in explaining and bringing beautiful scriptures in to solidify every area. And I tell you, I took so many notes that I was literally a student in addition to hosting the program. But it was just a wonderful time in just eating from the God's table concerning this point, everything you need concerning believe. And that is what we need to do better in being a brighter light in the world today, because we are in times that just look shady and just problematic. They just don't look like they're going anywhere other than destruction. But those who were called by his name, according to 2 Chronicles, he calls us to pray. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that just lets us know that he promises to heal our land and forgive our sin if we pray. And we believe, then we pray. Believe by faith and pray to a God that can change, that can bring turbulence to a jail cell and drop the shackles off everybody's feet and arms in a jail and save a whole man's family. Now, that's just the God we serve, and he is an awesome God. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, Minister Lakeisha Richmond, for bringing this beautiful point concerning believe in the teaching track, everything you need. Well, this brings us to the close of our program. It has been a beautiful ride, and I just want to express before our time runs out that those who may be listening right now to this program, please do not leave not knowing that you are saved. Believe. That's what this point is about. Believe. And all you do is confess that you are a sinner. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus will heal you, save you, deliver you into his kingdom. Just believe. And that's all it takes, is believe in the Jesus that rose from the dead, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he sits on the right hand of our Father, interceding for us. So I just ask that you would pray this prayer with me right now, with bowed heads and humble heart, and believe in your heart, and he will save you. Jesus, I am a sinner. Clean me up from the inside out. I want to be a child of God. Come into my heart right now, Lord. I believe that you died for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Get into a Bible teaching church, a Sunday school, or a discipleship class, and just enjoy to rejoice in the Lord. This brings us to the end of Mission from the Heart Radio, and I just thank you again for being faithful to the program, but most of all, faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and God bless, and good night.